At 7:05, we have mostly cloudy skies here at the KJN studios and some light rain coming down now here once again as well. And the temperature is at 60 degrees now here at the KJN studios. We've picked up a total now of 22 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall here within the past 24-hour period, ending here at 7 o'clock this morning. Also a report from Mesino, 36 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall here within the last 24 hours, and we'll expect to see more of that weather continuing here over this Memorial Day weekend. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news here on KJAN. News is being brought to you here this hour by Manning Regional Healthcare Center, your trusted experts close to home. In area news, sheriff's officials in Guthrie County issued a statement on Friday night with regard to an incident in Casey. Authorities said in a social media post, as some may be aware, there was a large law enforcement presence in the 100 block of West Grant on Friday night in Casey. EMS and law enforcement were dispatched to a residence in the area for a medical call. Upon arrival, the scene was deemed unsafe by EMS and law enforcement. A perimeter was set up outside the residence for approximately 1 hour. EMS has cleared the scene and returned to their stations. A small law enforcement presence will remain in Casey to monitor that situation. We do not believe there is a threat to the public at this time. Officials said also if anyone in the area has questions or concerns, they can call 911 or call the Sheriff's Office administrative line at 641-747-2214. KJAN News Time is 7:06.
National Women's Health Week is celebrated in May, but at Manning Regional Healthcare Center, we believe in making women's health a priority year-round. Here are some tips to improve your health. Take care of your body by maintaining a healthy weight, staying active, eating healthy, well-balanced meals, monitoring alcohol intake, and avoiding smoking. Take care of your mental health by finding healthy ways to manage stress, staying connected with family and friends, and practicing good sleep habits. At MRHC, we are now offering telehealth and clinic visits. If you have any health concerns, do not hesitate to reach out to your primary care provider.
In other news, one-third of Iowa's state government isn't ready to fully reopen anytime soon as the coronavirus continues to infect and kill people across the state. The Iowa Judicial Branch announced on Friday afternoon that it would cancel jury trials in criminal cases until September 14th and push back any in-person proceedings until July 13th. Some hearings can begin July 13th or earlier if courthouses meet recommended safety protocols, but the use of teleconferences and video conferences will continue to be encouraged. Health officials have warned that crowded courtrooms could be venues to spread the virus to clerks, jurors, lawyers, witnesses, spectators, and defendants. Officials with the Council Bluffs Police Department report that officers made a physical arrest on Friday morning following a road rage incident that took place on South 24th Street. Authorities say a driver struck another driver several times at a local gas station after a problem on the roadway. Authorities say we received several calls regarding road rage, and unfortunately, many go unaccounted for. This time, several witnesses called police and then gave statements that allowed us to make an arrest. We sincerely appreciate the public's help when acting as informed witnesses and remind everyone to use restraint and patience when driving during this Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe and healthy. Additional details concerning the arrest were not released. A suburban Des Moines school district and a former student have reached a $900,000 settlement with a student who suffered permanent brain damage after being attacked at school. Audrey Vasek sued the Ankeny Community School District and another student after a 2016 attack. She alleged that Mallory Chalbot punched her in the face and slammed her head into a concrete wall. The lawsuit said Chalbot had verbally abused and threatened Vasek for a year before the attack. The Des Moines Register reports a settlement reached in late April requires the school district to pay $880,000 and Chalbot to pay $20,000 to Vasek. Persons who conduct online buy-sell-trade transactions or who have family or child custody matters now have a safe place to do their in-person business in Montgomery County. Police in Red Oak have set up a location for specific public business outside the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center. The Purchase Public Exchange location has been formally recognized and is located in the 400 block of North 1st Street and parking spaces for the spot will be on the west side of the street. Police say this location should be used by those individuals who are purchasing, selling, or trading items online and are meeting an unknown person for their transaction or meeting for family or child custody exchanges. The location chosen has a 24-hour video surveillance, but not 24-hour monitoring. Questions may be directed to Police Chief Justin Ramey at 712-623-6500. Governor Kim Reynolds reports the four new COVID-19 test Iowa sites will be open next week for those with an appointment, and one is set to close. New testing sites will become operational in Burlington, Council Bluffs, Marshalltown, and Sioux Center. The site in Sioux City, which opened May 4th, was set to close last night at 6 p.m., but other testing locations that were previously in place will remain available. The site in Pottawatomie County is set to open May 29th from noon until 6 p.m., but the site has yet to be determined for that exact location. More details will be released on the state's COVID-19 dashboard. The governor had some thoughts on the virus heading into this holiday weekend.
While life is beginning to feel more normal, we can't forget that the virus still remains in our communities. We must continue to take personal responsibility for our health and the health of others, just like you have done over the last 11 weeks. As we move into the Memorial Holiday weekend, please enjoy the weekend and the extra time with family and friends, but do so in a safe and responsible manner.
And within 10 days, the majority of businesses and facilities that Governor Reynolds ordered to close in March will have been allowed to reopen under new pandemic-related guidelines. Reynolds says critics of her decisions fail to acknowledge the distress that closures placed on the state's economy and on individuals with mental health concerns or a volatile home life.
There is a societal cost also to just shutting down and not realistically moving forward through this pandemic. We can do it. We are doing it. We're going to continue to do it, and we're going to continue to manage it.
Reynolds has repeatedly said with expanded testing and ample hospital space, the state will be able to manage COVID-19 outbreaks that may occur.
We have never said that nobody would ever, we were going to prevent people from getting COVID-19. That's unrealistic. It's unattainable. What we have to do is learn to live with it and manage the virus, and we have to get things back to normal.
Senate Democratic leader Janet Peterson of Des Moines says Reynolds has presented Iowans with the false choice of saving elderly Iowans or saving the economy. Peterson says the number of COVID-19 cases is still increasing and reopening businesses too soon will be deadly for our health and economy. Atlantic Parks and Recreation Director Bryant Rasmussen made the announcement official yesterday with regards to the Sunnyside Pool. This pool will not be opening for the 2020 summer season. And they said that due to requirements in the latest proclamation from the governor and expectations that they would need to fulfill from the CDC to be able to clean and keep things up and operational would just be too much to take over for the pool. He said, with health and safety being our foremost concern, the financial impact is also significant. Even if we could accommodate all the additional requirements, the pool consistently operates at a loss each year, and that would certainly further impact the budget. He said, we appreciate your understanding, and we look forward to seeing you in one of our parks this year and the pool to be back open and serve you in the 2021 season. Iowa's unemployment rate soared to 10.2% in April, reflecting the economic cost of efforts to slow the spread of the virus. Iowa Workforce Development reported Friday that Iowa's unemployment rate rose to 3.3% in March and then roughly tripled in April. Iowa's April 2019 rate was 2.7%. The national unemployment rate for April was 14.7%. Beth Townsend, director of Iowa Workforce Development, says she was hopeful that as Governor Reynolds ends restrictions on businesses and gatherings that were intended to prevent outbreaks, the economy will quickly improve. Reynolds has taken those actions even as the number of deaths blamed on the virus now tops 400 in Iowa. Montgomery County Auditor and Commissioner of Elections Stephanie Burke said Thursday she has set only two polling locations that will be open on June 2nd for the 2020 primary election. Burke said Montgomery County traditionally has seven locations available for the primary election, but that number has been reduced to only two locations. Those voters that usually vote at the Elliott Community Building, Red Oak First Christian Church, and the Red Oak Fire Station will be voting at the Red Oak Gold Fair Building. Any voters that voted the Grant Fire Station and the Villisca Community Room will now be voting at the Stanton Fire Station. Burke said the inconvenience is expected to be minor and emphasized this is a temporary move just for this primary due to COVID-19. Three of the candidates seeking the Democratic Party's U.S. Senate nomination took aim at perceived frontrunner Teresa Greenfield during the final TV forum before the June primary. Michael Franken, a retired Navy vice admiral from Sioux City, brought up the Senate Majority PAC, which has spent more than $6 million on ads supporting Greenfield's candidacy.
Enormous amounts of outside money manipulating the voters' thought processes. We should stop this. It should be an outcry. This is a travesty.
You know what? Unfortunately, the thing you haven't done that I have done is build the strongest grassroots team across the state. And I am thrilled to have 70,000 union members endorse my campaign.
Greenfield says she has no control over outside groups campaigning on her behalf, and she accused Franken and her other competitors of reciting Republican talking points. Des Moines businessman Eddie Morrow accused Greenfield of being well-coached.
The problem with this race that we have, and I was supposed to be in Iowa Nice right now, but we need to be honest and genuine with people. And you can't tell people, smile at people and tell them you're not taking corporate PAC money.
Greenfield was quick to respond.
I haven't taken one dime of corporate PAC money, and I'm not going to. And I believe dark money groups should disclose who is donating to their dark money groups and how they're influencing our campaigns.
Candidate Kimberly Graham, an attorney from Indianola, says Greenfield has accepted more than $150,000 in campaign donations from people who are corporate lobbyists.
And so I guess I would just ask why that was necessary and why that money couldn't have been refused.
Greenfield's campaign has announced raising $1.5 million with contributions from more than 15,000 Iowans in all 99 counties. The 90-minute debate was broadcast on WHO-TV in Des Moines. It was the third debate this week among the four Democratic candidates who hope to face Republican Iowa Senator Joni Ernst in November. And lakes and rivers are often full on Memorial Day as many people get their boats out for the first time. Iowa DNR Boating Law Administrator Susan Stocker says the desire to get out on the water is probably going to be higher than normal this year.
And I do believe, based on what's been happening around Iowa, stay-at-home orders, what have you, I think it's going to be exceptionally busy.
Stocker says you should continue to follow social distancing rules on the water and only allow your immediate family in the boat.
And that means the people that you've been, hanging out with at home. And so that's one of the key things. And then, of course, items like when you're at a fuel dock, getting fuel for the boat, when you're loading or launching, stay that 6 feet social distancing.
She says you should stay away from some of the traditional things people do, such as landing on a sandbar and gathering or doing what's called rafting. Stocker says the standard rules still apply when you are boating. And to look at some of the latest in news, we'll take a look at funeral announcements next, News Time 718.
Have you been putting off your routine health and wellness visits or elective procedures? At Manning Regional Healthcare Center, we are taking steps to gradually reopen. Well child and routine health visits, as well as specialty clinic services, have resumed. Now is the time to make your appointments. Our goal is to have no wait times in the lobby and minimal patient-to-patient contact. Therefore, less appointments will be available initially. To ensure your health and safety during your upcoming visit, we ask that all who enter the facility wear a mask. Call 655-2072 to schedule an appointment.
And the funeral announcements, Philip Flip Seddon, age 71 of Atlantic, died May 14th at his home. Celebration of Life Memorial Service for Philip Flip Seddon will be held today at 4 p.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. William Bill Lippincott, age 82 of Atlantic, died Monday at Mercy One Hospice in Johnston. A private family mass of Christian burial for Bill Lippincott will be held at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic and can be watched via live stream beginning at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, May 26th. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Goldie C. Miller, age 92 of rural Menlo, died Thursday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. A graveside funeral service for Goldie C. Miller will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Morrisburg Cemetery north of Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home Stewart has arrangements. David E. Popper Pop, age 63 of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for David Pop will be held on May 30th at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mark A. Johnson, age 68, of Messina, died March 22nd at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A celebration of life graveside service for Mark Johnson will be held on May 30th at 1 p.m. in the Messina Center Cemetery. Steen Funeral Hall Messina has arrangements. Angela Harris McCudden, age 64, of Atlantic, died on Wednesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Cremation has taken place and no services will be held for Angela McCudden, and Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has the arrangements. Gerald Jerry Behrens, age 83, of Des Moines, formerly of Southwest Iowa, died Monday at Ramsey Village in Des Moines. A private family graveside service for Gerald Jerry Behrens will be held at a later date at the Cedar Lawn Cemetery in Council Bluffs. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. And Marlene Schilberg, age 79, of West Des Moines and formerly of Adair County, died Sunday at Mercy One West Lakes in West Des Moines. Private family graveside services will be held for Marlene Schilberg. A celebration of life service will take place at a later date. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. Brought to you this hour by Manning Regional Healthcare Center, your trusted experts close to home. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.